Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, and welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast helping families learn to love living with dogs. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here with Colleen Pilar. And this week, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of dog parks. So, Colleen, how do you feel about dog parks?
Dog parks are like almost everything else in the it depends category.
Absolutely.
And I definitely think that there is good use for a dog park, but I sometimes scare my clients with my list of cautions and things to think about before they would take their dog to a dog park. So I think one thing we have to recognize about dog parks is the most likely folks you're going to meet in there are adolescent, under-exercised dogs. These are not folks known for their good manners.
So that's true.
We have, you know, running around getting the willies out that may or may not be a good experience for your dog who also needs to run around and get the willies out.
Right.
You know, that is the biggest risk in a dog park is that we may not be looking at 20 dogs with great obedience skills or with great reliability and attention on their owners. They're in the moment enjoying the sunshine and the mud and the smells, and they may or may not be enjoying the other dogs. Some of them are busy bossing the other dogs around. Some of them are chasing someone who doesn't want to be chased, and some of them are having just a fantastic time. So which category is going on in your dog park at this moment? Is it a good place for your dog to be? You've got to always be looking.
Right. And one of the things that I find, too, is that if there's a lot of dogs in the dog park, there's not a whole lot of regulation of play going on. If you just have one or two dogs playing in the dog park, they tend to be pretty good at regulating their play. And play should be self-regulating. You should play, 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 stop. Play, 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 stop. But if you have a group of 5, 6, 10 dogs, somebody's always going. And that can be a real recipe for disaster because if you get too amped up, it can go from arousal and fun and spill over into aggression. So yeah. I find that it's something that I always feel like puts me on edge a little bit as I'm always watching to make sure that it's not escalating in a direction that makes me uncomfortable or that's going to put my dog in a situation that's going to be really unpleasant for him and for me.
Right. Over-arousal is a huge risk for aggression.
Yes.
It's definitely a concern. And aggressive incidents are more likely to occur the greater number of dogs involved. So we do get sort of a pack mentality.
Right.
Where we just sort of all rev up as a team and let's all chase that dog. There's also a concern with something called predatory drift.
Yes.
Where a dog who plays nicely with other dogs much of the time will either see or hear something that just triggers this instinct of, I am going to go catch it. So lots of times a little dog will get startled or frightened and will go, ah! And then run. And he turns from being a little dog into being a rabbit like that. And we have a dog who's now hunting him as opposed to playing with him.
Right.
And that can be a very dangerous thing when we have a big size difference between dogs in a dog park. So you want to make sure that if you go to a dog park, you are separated by size and we have the big dogs in one area and the small dogs in the other area. And that we're never really looking at, you know, just lots of dogs and unregulated play.
Right. Right. And I was going to say, it's also important to understand the difference between play and prey motivation,
yeah.
Looking at how dogs play. And I have a blog on that we can post. But I think one of the things that I try to tell owners is that play should be loose and comfortable and should be loud, lateral, loose, repetitive, and self-regulating.
Mm-hmm.
If it's tight and focused and linear and quiet, that may no longer be play. That may be a dog
yeah.
who has now moved over, drifted into his prey drive, and is now seeing other dogs not as buddies, but as potential rabbits, as you said. So I think it's real important to understand the difference between, and if your gut goes, I don't like the look of that, I would trust your gut because it's probably very clear that what is going on is not something that you want to have happen.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer in following your gut and believing what your gut is telling you, especially if it's saying something bad. If it's saying like, all is good, and other people are going, something's bad, maybe we should listen to them. But if you're watching and you're going, I'm not sure, then intervene, interrupt, call your dog over, have a little treat, have a little playtime, and then send them back if you think everything's calmed down a bit. And if it hasn't, it could be time to go home. But being able to tell the difference, and I think you used some really good words there to describe the difference, it can be hard for a lot of people to tell the difference between fun, loose play, and arousal intensity. And I think some of the words you used were very helpful, especially the lateral and the loose, because really hyped up, revved up dogs do tend to be so forward, and they're just vibrating is always the word that comes to my mind, that they're not loose. They're just quivering full of energy, and that is not usually conducive to good play.
Right. I guess if I had to name three things to look for, for me that says this is play, is the movements are very large. They tend to be lateral. The dogs are bouncing back and forth. Mm-hmm. They're large. These are big movements, and they tend to be repetitive. And so those are the ones I really, really look for. And when I start to get nervous is when a dog starts to hunker down. And the movements become much smaller and tenser, and you're quivering, as you said, and very linear, like a direct line between me and this. I'm going to take this other dog out. That makes me very nervous.
Yeah. I think that if you were acting out how your dog plays, like if you were trying to use words to a friend and describe how your dog plays, paying attention to your own body language and words in that moment might give you a good idea of whether your dog plays with the large, loose, exaggerated, and the alternating between the pauses and the now we go, now. Because play often has like these big gestures. It's almost like slapstick. Like, did you see what I did?
Yes.
You did? Okay. And I'll do it again. Because it was so funny the first time. And now again. There's a pause and then repetition. Whereas if your dog is really revved, you don't have that. You have much greater tension and the activity is sort of maintaining and continuing, not alternating.
Highly focused. It makes me think in terms of like, when I think of focus, I think of a border collie working sheep. Mm-hmm. That's not play. That's work. Now that's not aggression, or hopefully it's not aggression, but it's really focused and it's very linear and it's very intense. And if your dog starts looking like a border collie, maybe this is a time to add in a break. I used to tell people I would watch my dogs. We landscaped our backyard around the dog's play. And so when we had the golden retriever and the flat-coated retriever, we watched their flight patterns through the yard. And that's how I landscaped, was according to the flight patterns. And I tell people what they would do is Hudson would do a play bow. And then Bingley would do a play bow. And then Hudson would take off and he'd run around the shed and across the patio and through the holly bush and back into the yard and stop. And meanwhile, Bingley would be following him. And then Buckley, the burner who had no idea what was going on, would just run after everybody, right? But they'd stop. And then they'd take off and they'd run around the shed, across the patio, around the holly bush, into the yard and stop. So we had these big, silly movements, same repetitive pattern, but we'd stop, get a breath, and start again. And so when I describe that to people, they can kind of see it in their mind's eye. I think that gives a pretty good description of the kind of play we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. And different dogs have different styles of play.
Yes.
And some styles don't mix well with others. So there are a lot of dogs who think body slamming is just the most fun and delightful way to play. And if you have a dog who doesn't think that having a boxer come ramming into him full speed is fun, then that's not a good playmate for your dog. But that could be a dog who's behaving completely appropriate to play with another body slamming kind of dog. So dog park, the other downside is they tend to be open admission. It tends to be whoever shows up is invited in equally. And so you're always looking to see are the dogs in here appropriate playmates for my dog at this time. And over time, you can sort of learn time of day of what works best for your dog at this park, if you even want to take your dog to the dog park at all. And there are a lot of dogs who don't ever want to go to the dog park, and they have very happy, full lives that do not include a lot of rambunctious running around silly hooligan activities with other dogs. So they would just go into the park and be appalled by everyone. Just like, what are you doing? Knock all that off.
That's right, because I like to lay down and play the ugly, what we call the ugly face game. Where, you know, we paw at each other and chew each other's faces. And that's a perfectly legitimate play, but that doesn't work particularly well at the dog park.
Right.
So it really is play style. Which brings me to the fact that when I have clients who want to take their dogs to the dog park, I'm said, okay, that's fine, but let me go with you the first time and let me walk you through Julie's rules of the dog park, because this is what's going to help to keep you and your dog safe in the dog park. And I said, you need to understand that this will keep your dog safe. It might not necessarily win you a whole lot of friends among the dog park crowd, but, you know, if you're okay with that, then you got to go with the rules. The first one is, I'd like to have a clear entrance. When they oftentimes would have what I call an airlock system. There's that double gate. So we will go in the double gate, and that's the cue for my dogs. They have to sit, and their leashes come off. And I don't open the inner gate until everybody's seated. But one of the big problems is everybody seems to hang out at the entrance, and they allow their dogs to come over and hang out at that entrance gate. Well, it's a small space when that door is open, and that's one of the places where dogs can get into trouble. They have space issues if there's not room to move. So I will ask owners to please call their dogs away from the entrance to the dog park, because when I open that gate, my dogs, that's their cue. They can fly out of there as fast as they want. They have to sit until I open the gate. So one of the things is they have to have a clear entrance into the dog park. If you don't have a clear entrance, I don't open the gate because I don't want anybody to get run over, and I don't want to have any kind of space issues. So that's the first one. The second one is, what I have found difficulties arise is that people will stand around in little groups, and then their dogs circle around them. Circle around them. And that tends to cause some problems with the dogs. They get a little maybe possessive about the person. They get a little bored. They're all circling around in a small space. And as they're standing there talking to one another, they're really not paying attention to what their dogs are doing or if dogs are getting along or not. So my suggestion is keep walking. I walk the perimeter of the dog park, because when I'm walking, my dog tends to be moving with me. There's a lot more space. Any dog that comes with us tends to be running with my dogs. And so by constantly moving through the dog park, I'm keeping my dog moving and out of the fray of that circle of dogs going around and around and around their owners, where I've seen way too many incidences happen.
Yes, that's an important one.
Yeah, so you keep moving. And then the third one is, food can be kind of iffy in the dog park. It can cause some real problems. So I say, take toys. What I like to do is, when I used to take Bingley, I would take somewhere around 3 to 5 tennis balls, knowing that we may come home with 3 to 5, we may come home with one, we may not come home with any. But I also knew, too, that Bingley loved tennis balls. And so I could, if I saw something starting to go, two dogs were starting to get into it, I could always say, oh, Bingy, let's go. And I'd throw the ball, and he'd chase after the ball. And if another dog went after that ball, boy, I had another one to throw. And it was a great way for me to exit a scene where I thought things were starting to escalate without offending anybody, because I'm just playing with my dog. But it was also a great way to get Bingley to disengage and re-engage with me. So I highly recommend, get your dog to be obsessive about a particular toy. Tennis balls are great because they're not that expensive. Take a bunch of them, and you have a way to disengage your dog and re-engage him with you. So it's real important. Clear entrance, keep moving, have a way to disengage your dog.
Those are great rules. Those are really good guidelines for a dog park. The other thing that comes up often is that many dogs age out of a dog park. So dogs used to enjoy off-leash play with a big group, no longer does. And I think that's totally normal. I think, you know, some dogs may continue enjoying it, but a lot of dogs would prefer to just have a few canine friends that they played with in their yards and not the whole dog park experience. And if we could compare that to adults, do you really want to go to the playground and go down the slide? Sometimes, not really, and certainly not when it's crowded.
No, but, or when it's hot, or when it's, you know, when there's a, you know, a birthday party going on at the park. No, I'm really not there.
And so, same deal for the dog park. That lots of times, even as young as 4 or 5, dogs are going, no, and that's still a really young dog.
Yes,
but maybe not as into the dog park as they had been when they were 2. So it's a case-by-case basis. There are certainly, you know, 9-year-old dogs who think the dog park is fantastic. But what we're saying here is that it depends, and it's all about knowing your dog and knowing how to read your dog well enough to recognize when they're comfortable, when they're happy, and is this really a joyful experience? Because the value of being able to take your dog where they can run is fantastic. It's wonderful for them to be able to really stretch out and go, but the risks are real. And
they
so we
are.
Do want people to know that.
The other thing is speaking that not only can they age out, there's also a minimum age that I think is really appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
People ask me, I have, you know, my 8-9-week-old puppy, and I'm like, no, you give the dog to me, and then when I think you're reasonable, I'll give him back to you. You can take him to the dog park. My general rule of thumb, vets will tell you they don't want dogs going out in places like that until they're 4 months of age and they've had their full complement of puppy shots. This is one area where I'm stricter than vets. I usually say 6 months of age is the earliest that I want to see a dog going to a dog park.
Yeah.
And for a variety of reasons. One is I want their shots to be sure that their shots are good and that they're healthy and they don't have any, you know, any kind of health issues that or are more susceptible to because you don't have any idea of what the vaccination record is of the dogs in the dog park. So therefore, you don't want to expose your puppy to the chance of picking up some of those puppy illnesses like parvo.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. But the second one is I want my dogs a little bit stronger temperamentally. I think 4 months of age, we're still figuring out who he is. And I'm not so sure that I really want my puppy, who's 4 months old, to get beat up by, you know, a 2-year-old lab who's just being a stupid 2-year-old lab.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a minimum of 6 months of age in order to be sure that you're temperamentally sound to handle it. And even then, I am watching with a real eagle eye that my dog is not being overwhelmed. My dog is not being bullied. My dog is not being, you know, pushed here or pushed there, or that my dog is bullying others. That's the other thing is I think it's important to understand that your dog might be the bully dog, and you need to understand what that looks like from another owner's point of view. If your dog is just really bothering another dog, what I tell people is I always look at the dog who's being bothered. If two mm-hmm. dogs are playing and one seems to be on top all the time or always seems to be the one who's chasing, that's okay if the dog who is on the bottom or the one who's being chased is happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how do you tell if that dog's happy? Well, all those body language things that we have talked about. Is this dog loose? Is when they have a rest, does the dog who was being chased come back for more? Is his tail, you know, relaxed and happy and waving, or is it tucked between his legs? You know?
And if we stop the dog who's on top, like if we were to just hold that dog's collar for a minute, does the other dog go, oh, good, now I'm going to go play with him over there? Or is that dog still orienting at the one we're hanging on to going, hey, let's play. Come on. Go away from your person. Come play with me. And lots of times the dog is really happy to go elsewhere.
Yes.
You know, the dog is like, okay, good. Now I can go play over there.
And if that's the case, then you need to take responsibility for your dog mm-hmm. not harassing that other dog. And if he can't, well, then maybe it's time for you to go. And come mm-hmm. at a different time. And I think it's hard for people to realize that maybe sometimes my dog's the inappropriate one.
Yeah. And that your dog isn't being bad, per se. He just hasn't learned to self-regulate in a way that's making the other dogs comfortable. So we're not judging the behavior as much as the fact that we don't want to let it continue.
Correct.
Now, it's totally normal behavior. You have a great mm-hmm. dog. But this is not necessarily helping anyone, including your dog, if we allow it to continue. So
right. We
need to be on top of it. And I think intervening early and often is just good sense in all the stuff anyway. Kid and dog interactions and dog to dog interactions. It's so much better to interrupt something that's going well and take a short break and then go, yay, you can play some more. That then becomes a reward for having come.
Right.
You get to go play again. And it also prevents us from getting this arousal building and building and building and building until we go, oh, we played too long. Oh, that was bad.
Right. And if you break it up frequently, you're then helping your dog learn how to self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you have a dog who does go from 0 to 60 and doesn't know how to self-regulate, really is up to you to teach it so that he can have fun. And so that you can have fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's an incredibly important lesson for dogs to learn is how to self-regulate. And the other thing is I find that happens at dog parks is people stay way too long.
Mm-hmm.
They go and they're there for, you know, an hour or 2 hours and their dogs have lost it. It's just short and sweet is so much better. You know, kind of like the theater, always leave them wanting more. And that's another thing is we talked at other times about the idea of your dog learning that I can't always have what I want when I want it. I've given you 20, 25 minutes at the dog park. You seem pretty tired. You've had a good drink. This is a good time for us to go. So even though you want to stay and play more, nope, we're going to move along. And that's not a bad lesson for your dog to learn either.
Yeah. And that comes back a little bit to your guideline about keeping walking too.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes people stay too long because they brought their cup of coffee in and they're talking to someone else and they're just hanging out, having a great conversation. And yay, I'm delighted you're having a great conversation, but our priority here is watching the dogs.
Right.
And I would like you not to have a cup of coffee there because I'd like your hands to be free to manage dogs. And I would like, you know, everyone to be in their dog mode and not in their just hanging out while the dogs exercise themselves.
Right.
Mode. So the idea of, you know, you keep moving in the dog park, you're not likely to stay for an hour or 2 hours because you're not getting your social needs met that way as easily. You might have a person who's wandering the perimeter with you, which can be great.
Right.
But again, we really want to be thinking of, are we focusing on the dogs and are we setting our dogs up for success? So dog parks can be a really good thing. I do like for one to exist in an area so that the option is there, but I am very cautious about using them and, you know, certain times, certain circumstances, you know.
Well, the other thing is I try to get an idea about when certain dogs come.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I find that if I can, I'll take my dogs during the day, that it's less likely to be really busy. And I may want to go just so that my dogs have a chance to have a bigger area to stretch their legs together.
Yeah.
And so you can sort of manage it that way as well. Other things to be aware of, some dog parks have water elements. I've been to a couple that have creeks or access to a lake, which can be really fun, but is another element of danger for your dog. I just remember one time, Bingley, I threw a ball and he ran into the water to get it, and another dog just jumped right on top of him and knocked him under the water. Wasn't exactly thrilling for me to see that happen to Bing. Luckily, he was old enough that he took it in stride, and it didn't affect his love of the water. But, it, you know, if he'd been a smaller dog or this had been, he'd been a puppy, this could have had some serious consequences for him.
Yeah.
So just be aware that if there's water, there are water hazards. And
yes. And giardia is also sometimes an issue when there are water elements. And so having one fun afternoon of playing at the dog park plus 3 weeks of diarrhea is no one's idea of good exchange.
No,
so
no. In our small little village, we happen to have two dog parks. But before we had the second one, the first one was right near a creek. And so there were times when I would take my dogs and we would go down and we would just play in the creek. There were other times when we'd go in the dog park. Well, unfortunately, Hudson realized where the creek was and he would burrow under the fence to get to the creek. So that was not always good. And the other problem with a creek or with a lake is you have to be careful of puncture wounds. He got a pretty bad puncture wound in one of his paws. And though we took him right to the vet and got that taken care of, the next morning his paw was twice its normal size and he couldn't bear any weight on it. So, yeah, there's giardia, there's puncture wounds, there's all kinds of things. But, you know, that's part and parcel of having a dog and allowing him to have those fun things. But you need to be aware of the fact that there are hazards and be prepared for those.
Yes.
So
does that pretty much wrap up our thoughts on dog parks?
I think it does. Would you like to sum it up?
I think the summary is really use with caution. That they can be great, but they are not guaranteed to be great. So really it is a matter of knowing your dog, being able to intervene early and often, understanding what good and bad play are, and really setting your dog up for success by following the rules of making sure there's the clear entrance so the dogs can get through without being jumped on right at the moment they come in. Keep moving so that we're not having all the people clumped up in an area, and taking toys so that you do have a way to get your dog's attention and call them away from things. I think that really does kind of cover the main points of dog parks.
Yeah, it does. And keep it short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
As always.
All right. Well, thank you, Colleen. We will see you next week.
Okay, enjoy your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.